time for Rush Hour with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
Welcome in, everybody, to Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke, your host. As always, we're live here in Chicago at our VSiN studios. A good one on tap for this evening. Rob Doster, founder of the Field of 68, will be joining us in about 5 minutes or so, talking all things college basketball, getting you ready for the late slate tonight on the hardwood. So excited to talk with Rob about some of the best betting opportunities in college basketball. We'll get some of my college football picks for this weekend. I know we ran out of time yesterday, was unable to get to them, but we'll dive into those later on the show. Plus, like we typically do in the middle of the week, we'll look at the biggest line movements heading into the upcoming NFL slate. So we'll do that for NFL week 13, plus more college football talk, specifically focusing in on the Big Ten with Chris Schmidt. Joined the show a couple weeks ago, does a phenomenal job covering the Big Ten, specifically Nebraska over in Lincoln, Nebraska. Really excited to get his thoughts because, I mean, it's crazy right now, the Big Ten, college football in general, but specifically the Big Ten. We'll talk about implications, lines, bets, and more with him later on. But let's get you geared up for the pregame rush with some of the early college basketball action going on. That's about to tip off in any moment. So let's go ahead and get you those updated lines, starting with West Virginia and Gonzaga. Number 11 ranked West Virginia taking on number 1 ranked Gonzaga, and the Zags opened up as a 7-point favorite in this game. That's bumped up to them being an 8.5-point favorite. Minus $4 on the money line is what we're seeing at Bet Rivers, plus 320 on the buyback for West Virginia. Total opened up at about 153 now. That's been bet up to 157.5, the over minus 112, under minus 109 on the year. West Virginia 3-0 straight up, 2-1 against the spread. The Zags on the other side, 2-0 straight up, but they're 2-0 against the spread. Like we said, the betting attention has gone toward the number one ranked team, Gonzaga. They were a 7-point favorite at the opener. Now they're an 8.5-point favorite for that matchup, getting away any moment. All right, also tipping off any moment, Ball State and Michigan, the Wolverines, they opened up as a 14.5-point favorite. We've seen that number jump up now to 15.5. Minus 2,000 or so on the money line at Bet Rivers, plus 950 on the buyback for Ball State. Total opened up at 144, a slight drop to the under minus, or it's now 141.5, minus 110 each way between Ball State and Michigan. Ball State 0-1 straight up thus far, 0-1 against the spread. The Wolverines 2-0 straight up to begin their season, and 1-1 against the number. Michigan once again laying 15.5 against Ball State. Now, how about we move on here? Iowa State, the Cyclones, taking on South Dakota State. And Iowa State, we saw, just opened up as a 4.5-point favorite, and that's been bet down to 1.5 now. So South Dakota State was catching 4.5. Now they're just catching 1.5. In terms of that total, we see it at about 154. That one opened at 150. So the money has been coming in on the over. That's bumped it up 4 points. In terms of the money line, the Cyclones, the slight favorite, minus 124. South Dakota State, plus 104. On the buyback, South Dakota State 1-2 straight up, 2-1 against the spread. In terms of Iowa State's performance thus far, they've only played one game. They got the dub, but they were unable to cover, so they are 0-1 against the spread. And in this game, they're laying about 1.5. All right, let's move on. Tennessee Tech and Xavier. Xavier, the big favorite here, laying 23, total at 139.5. So a little bit shorter of a total compared to some of the other games on the slate tonight. We saw this one open with Xavier as a 21-point favorite. Like we said, we've now seen that at 23. The total opened up at 139.5, so no action that significant one way or the other. Tennessee Tech, 0-2 straight up on the year, 0-2 against the number. Xavier, 4-0 straight up. However, they're only 1-3 against the spread, and they're facing a big spread tonight against Tech, laying 23. Once again, we see that total posted at 139.5. And then we move on, Rhode Island and Seton Hall. Seton Hall opened up as a 2-point favorite. That's where they remain, laying 2, minus 134 on the money line at Bet Rivers, plus 112 on the buyback for Rhode Island. In terms of that total, we saw it open at 150. That's dropped down now to 146.5, the over minus 109, under minus 110. And finally, let's get to Providence and Alabama. Providence 2-1 straight up on the year. They're catching 3 in this spot, plus 130 on the money line. Alabama laying minus $1.50. They opened up as a 2-point favorite in terms of the spread. Now they're a 3-point favorite. Total is bumped up just a tick from 144 to 144.5. Bama, 1-1-1 ATS. Providence, 1-2 ATS in terms of their performance this season. Welcome in, everybody, to Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live here in Chicago at our VEASAN studios, waiting to talk some college basketball with you tonight. And if you missed the show yesterday, if you just want some general handicapping tips in terms of college basketball, Greg Peterson did a phenomenal job laying it out in terms of pre-flop betting, in terms of in-game betting. So go to VEASAN.com/subscribe. Not only do you get a replay of Rush Hour, but you get a replay of all the other shows, and you get the daily best bets emails from all the hosts and everybody who contributes to the show. And one of those people being Rob Doster, who does a fantastic job with college basketball and the NBA, which we discussed with him at the beginning of this year. But Rob, I know this is right up your alley, my man. College basketball up and at it. How are you feeling?
Oh man, I am just so happy that we have college basketball back. This is the best time of year. I've been watching college hoops since 1:30 this afternoon. Doesn't get better than that.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Then you throw in a little football on Wednesday. So who'd have thunk it? But that's 2020. So a little bit of a highlight in the strange year we've been having. And, you know, I was just talking about how we had Greg Peterson on yesterday. He was giving some general tips for handicapping college basketball. I know it's early, but what are some maybe trends or things that stick out to you that you've noticed and have implemented in your betting skills thus far that you would recommend to other people who are going to bet in this crazy sport?
Well, the biggest thing for me is to pay really close attention to the teams that are coming in, that are coming out of coronavirus protocols. A lot of programs in some of these major conferences are shutting everything down for 2 weeks when there's one positive test in or around the program. And if you could find those teams when they come back, like it's very easy to fade them. Just think about it, man. Think about how out of shape you would get if you were just sitting in your apartment for 2 weeks or sitting in your house for 2 weeks and you couldn't go outside, you couldn't work out, and you couldn't get on the court. So for me, finding those spots has been something that has been really profitable so far this season.
All right, well, let's go ahead and delve into tonight's games, and we'll start 6:30 p.m. Central Time tip-off, Murray State and Middle Tennessee. Murray State opening up as a 6.5-point favorite. Rob, we've seen the attention go toward Murray State, now laying 8 points at Bet Rivers, -385 on the money line, buyback +300 for Middle Tennessee. In terms of that total, we see it at 143, shaded just a tad bit to the under.
You know, the big thing when it comes to these lines is you got to find the teams that maybe have the stars, and Murray State to me. You said it's gotten to -8. To me, that just makes too much sense to kind of be on the other side. You know, Middle Tennessee, they've always been well coached, and that's always been a better program than I think people realize. You know, they kind of get labeled as a mid-major, but they've had a lot of success. It started under Kermit Davis and has continued. So I do like Middle Tennessee State in that spot.
All right, how about Florida State, currently ranked 22nd in the country? They're taking on in-state rival North Florida. And the Seminoles opening up as a 25-point favorite. Now they're laying 26. Higher total here relatively at 150, shaded to the over -114. High spread here at 26. Do you think Florida State can cover that number?
Oh, man, I do. But I think I would lean towards North Florida here just because Florida State tends to be a team that doesn't score as many points. And the thing that kind of has me worried is how many new pieces are going to be on this Florida State team. You know, they lost Patrick Williams, they lost Devin Vassell, they lost Trent Forrest, and they're trying to incorporate a kid named Scotty Barnes, a five-star freshman, into something of a starting point guard role. People that don't know who Scotty Barnes is, he's a guy that's like 6'8 and 220 pounds, was more of like a playmaking small forward when he was coming up in high school, and is trying to fully convert to the point guard spot. So to me, it just makes too much sense to take the points. You know, it's just when you have a freshman point guard playing a role as big as Scotty Barnes is going to end up playing for this team, that is always something that is a little bit of a concern to me. You know, it's not easy to go from high school to the college ranks and be given the keys to a program to go and run the point. So, I like North Florida there on the points.
All right, how about another matchup with a high spread? SMU laying 32 against Houston Baptist. The total in this one, a high one as well, 159, shaded to the over -112.
So I'm so glad that you asked me about this team, because Houston Baptist, for people that don't watch them, They are not only one of the worst defensive teams in college basketball, they also play at one of the fastest paces in college basketball. All they want to do is get up and down the floor. They want to play as many possessions as possible. They want to shoot as many threes as possible, and they want to score as many points as possible. They're trying to play in the 90s. They're trying to play in the 100s. Now, the problem when they play a team like SMU or some of these power conference programs is that they're not talented enough to be able to run with them the way that they need to be able to run and score with them the way that they need to be able to score to get a win. So I think I lean towards the over here. And the reason I say that, they played Arizona State maybe 5 or 6 days ago. And Arizona State, I think it was, the score was like 65-25 at halftime. And Arizona State took their foot off the brake or took their foot off the gas. They were up by 40. They weren't going to lose this game. And Houston Baptist just kept running and they just kept scoring. And they ended up losing that game by 23 because they are still going to play their guys even when they're down by 40 in the second half. So I don't really want to mess with the either side in that game, but I'm just going to be on the over. You know, you will never find me taking the under when Houston Baptist is playing.
159 is where we see that total currently at Bet Rivers. Rob leaning toward the over in the matchup between SMU and Houston Baptist. Well, in this matchup, it's quite the contrary, a lower total of 131 between Old Dominion and Norfolk State. In terms of the spread, Old Dominion's laying 7 minus 335 on the money line, plus 255 on the buyback for Norfolk State. But once again, Rob, that lower total of 131, how do you see this one going down?
I mean, it's a little bit of a rivalry game for people who don't know. Norfolk State and Old Dominion are both kind of in that that Virginia Tidewater region, and you know, as we know, it's never easy to bet and to predict some of these matchups where it's something of a rivalry game. I think I lean a little bit towards Old Dominion here. They play in a better league. They've been traditionally a better program, and Norfolk State. It's hard for me to back some of these, the lowest of the low major programs in the coronavirus era, simply because we don't know exactly what their situation is like when it comes to the facilities and when it comes to being able to have access to gyms and being able to have access to weight rooms. So I think I tend to lean towards Old Dominion in this spot.
All right, Memphis and Arkansas State. This one tipping off at 7 p.m. Central Time. Memphis laying 20. Total in this one, 141.5. That's dropped down from the opener of 142.5. In terms of the spread, no real significant movement. Open with a 20-point favorite going toward Memphis, and we still see it there. How does this one play out? Because Memphis is kind of one of those teams that you get a great night from them, it seems, and they just play a little bit up and down. But what's kind of your outlook for this team this year?
Well, I think that this is the perfect buy-low spot for Memphis. Everybody saw them struggle against Western Kentucky, and everybody saw them lose to Northern Iowa. They lost two games last week in the South Dakota Classic Tournament. And to me, this is just the perfect buy-low spot for them. Arkansas State is not anywhere near as talented as them. They're not anywhere near as athletic as them, and they're not going to be able to run offense the way that some of these other programs are running offense to beat Memphis. And you know, the truth is that the biggest issue that Memphis has is that it's not going to be when they can go up against teams where they can overwhelm them from a talent perspective and they can overwhelm them from an athleticism perspective. So I think I like Memphis here. You're probably getting a little bit of value just because everybody saw them lose their last two games.
Rob Doster joining us here on Rush Hour, founder of the Field of 68 and writer and content creator with our friends over at Bet Rivers, diving into the Wednesday college basketball slate. We continue on here with number 21 ranked Oregon going up against Mizzou. This game, 8 p.m. Central Time tip off. Mizzou on the road catching 4.5 plus 165 on the money line, with the Ducks laying the 4.5. They're also laying minus 205 on the money line. In terms of the total, 136.5, shaded a little bit to the over, minus 113.
So it's not a true road game, right? Like, isn't this getting played in Omaha? Either way, Oregon and Davidson, which tapes at 9:30 as well. Those are probably my two favorite bets of the night. Like, Davidson, just they run such good offense. They've lost at the buzzer in their first two games at the Maui Invitational in Asheville, which we like to call the Nashville Classic. I think Davidson's really good. You know, they had two shots to beat Texas at the buzzer in the first game of that tournament, and now they're taking on a UNLV team that is not Jerry Tarkanian's UNLV team. They got a long way to go to get that program back to where it is. So I like Davidson in that spot, and I also like Oregon. I don't trust Konzo Martin's team. I don't think they have the talent level. And I know LJ Figueroa isn't eligible yet for Oregon, but that team just returns too many guys that are too good. You know, they had two transfers sitting out that I'm not sure the public is fully aware of, and Eugene Omorori and Eric Williams. And, you know, between Chris Duarte and Will Richardson, they got two guys that I think in the absence of Peyton Pritchard are going to develop into all Pac-12 caliber players. So to me, it's Oregon, and it's Oregon all day. So Oregon and Davidson are my two favorite bets tonight.
Yeah, like you alluded to, that game actually being played in Omaha, so not really a true road game for Missouri, but Oregon laying 4.5, Davidson laying 6.5 against UNLV. Davidson also minus 295 on the money line, total in that one at 138. Let's go ahead and skip to Oregon State and Washington State, Rob. And Oregon State, they opened as a 1.5-point favorite. A little bit of movement has gone their direction. They're now laying 2 at Bet Rivers. Minus 134 on the money line. Total in this one at 137. It's a narrow one here. Maybe tough to call, but do you have a lean in this matchup?
My lean is just to try to stay away from the bottom of the Pac-12 because weird things happen in the Pac-12 after dark. If you're going to force me to make a decision, it would probably be Oregon State. You know, I know Washington State's head coach, Kyle Smith, has dealt with some issues with coronavirus. So I tend to lean towards the program that has not had the, at the very least, the public problems with dealing with the coronavirus and people testing positive for COVID-19. So I think I lean Oregon State there, but I want no part of the Pac-12 after dark, especially the teams at the bottom of that league.
All right. Well, let's see if you have some interest in this game, as I'm sure most college basketball fans do. The top game of the night, Illinois and Baylor, number 5 ranked, Fighting Illini taking on Baylor in this spot. And look, we saw Baylor open up as about a 4.5-point favorite, and really the line stayed steady. We still see them laying 4.5. Total at 143, not much movement there either. Who do you like in this top-tier matchup?
I liked Illinois a lot more when it was, I saw it at 5 and 5.5 when it first opened up last night. And I liked Illinois a little bit more then. The thing about this matchup is that it's kind of going to depend on what Illinois head coach Brad Underwood wants to do offensively. But the way that Baylor defends is they basically funnel everything to the baseline. And they try to just get you kind of all clogged up in that little area just outside the block, kind of behind the basket. So that's where they want to force you to drive. They want to trap you down there, and they want to take away any pass you have out of it. So the way to beat that is to put 4 shooters on the floor, give the ball to your point guard, and kind of let him drive baseline and then space the floor and pick out a pass, whoever ends up being open. And assuming that Kofi Coburn isn't on the floor, Illinois really has the pieces to be able to do that. Now, Kofi Coburn is probably their second best player. Is Brad Underwood going to be willing to take his second best player off the floor to make the matchup just a little bit better for him? So I do think that he will. So I tend to lean towards Illinois in the points here. Like, to me, these are two of the 3 best teams in the country, and just 4.5 is just a little bit too much on this spot, especially when you consider that Illinois is coming off of just a 2-point win against a really good Ohio team. So I tend to like Illinois here, but I think I like the over more. You know, Baylor's got guards that can really, really shoot it. And I think both teams are going to try to get up and down the floor a little bit more than what we've seen so far from them so far this season. So I think that Illinois is where the value is on that line, but my favorite bet is the over.
Okay, we see that total about consensus-wise, 143 between Illinois and Baylor. Rob, before we let you go, I know I asked you about some handicapping advice when it comes to pre-flop bets, meaning before the game start. How about any in-game? Is that something that you find interest in or take advantage of, especially early on in the season?
Yeah, what I try to do is just wait for the team that I think is like the lesser team. Like in this example, I would wait for Baylor to go on a run where they hit like 3 or 4 threes in the span of like 5 minutes. Try to buy Illinois at the lowest point, if that makes sense. So For example, right now, Seton Hall, who I think is better than Rhode Island. Rhode Island has missed the Jalen Carey. They're down 16-7, 3 minutes into the game. That's a spot where I would look to jump on Seton Hall.
Rob, as always, much appreciated for you hopping on Rush Hour. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll look forward to talking again soon.
Good catching up, man. Good catching up. Let's have some winners tonight.
Absolutely. That's the plan at Rob Dossers, where you can find him on Twitter. And not only that, check out his new creation, The Field of 68. Does great work diving more into college basketball. Knows pretty much more about college basketball than every single person, giving Hoops a run for his money, of course. He was also another great contributor to college basketball here on not only Rush Hour, but on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And if you're just tuning in late, some of the best bets for Rob this evening. He liked Davidson -6.5 over UNLV on the money line for Davidson. They're currently -295 at Bet Rivers. Total in that one at 138, but Rob leaning toward laying the 6.5 with Davidson. And then Oregon -4.5 taken on Mizzou. Oregon's -205 on the money line, +165 on the buyback for Mizzou. Total a little bit lower in that one, 136.5, but likes laying 4.5 with the Ducks. And also Davidson laying 6.5 for some of the best bets for Wednesday night college basketball. All right, coming up next, as promised, college football picks heading into this upcoming weekend. We still have NFL line movements to discuss and Big Ten football with Chris Schmidt. All of that and more coming up here next on VSiN. Customers at Bet Rivers Sportsbook get a special deal for this week's NFL games. Deposit just $50 and get $100 in free bets. It's easy. Use the code NFL100 at Bet Rivers Sportsbook to get your $100 in free bets. As always, get great customer service and only a one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. First-time depositors and new users only. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke, your host here with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5 and the show VSiN at VSiN Live. Great content all throughout the day. And if you want to get more, go to VSiN.com/subscribe, because not only will you get insights, trends, you get a look at all the college football picks that I post, and along with everybody else on the panel with our competition, because I have a couple to give away in just a sec, which I consider the best of the bunch I pick. But if you want the extra ones, be sure to check it out in our Point Spread Weekly. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. But before we do that, let's really quick recap Wednesday football. That's right. Wednesday football we had this year, as crazy as it's been. Can't complain, because any time to watch football is a good time. Steelers and the Ravens dueling it out tonight, AFC North battle. And well, we know the Ravens were missing some of their key players, most of their key players rather, but they kept it close. I mean, the Steelers held on narrowly at the end. Ravens defense came up short to get the stop and a chance to win it, but Pittsburgh gets the dub 19-14. However, the Ravens get the cover. Tracy McSorley coming in, doing the job, getting that backdoor cover, closed at about 10.5 in favor of the Steelers. Naturally, the Ravens only lost by 5, so they get the cover. And with that total, close at about 41.5. And well, you're feeling pretty safe about that bet for most of the game. Steelers defense doing a phenomenal job of limiting RG3, really no impact throughout the game whatsoever. And you just saw so much confusion, and it was clear that he was the backup of this team. But look, McSorley did okay for the limited time he was in. And of course, if you had some fantasy implications, that was a tough one as well, myself included. Not going to rag on that too much, but the Steelers defense did kill me, lost my battle by 3. And we were just kind of hoping the game was going to get canceled almost for those people who are struggling with those last minute needs. But nevertheless, a fun time to bet on football midweek. And we will talk more about the NFL with some of our midweek line movements like we typically do, looking into NFL week 13. But before we do that, let's go ahead and discuss some of my best bets for college football for this upcoming weekend. And let's start with Texas A&M and Auburn. Now, the other day, well, yeah, I guess it was yesterday. That's when we submit our picks. So yesterday, I laid 6.5 with the Aggies against Auburn. Now, this game opened up with A&M as a 4-point favorite. The early attention went to them up to about 6.5. You're seeing it at about 6.5. 7 is pretty much consensus is what it seems now at this point. Total was at about 53.5. And look, the way that I kind of handicap this matchup is Texas A&M has always been a team I've kind of favored, which is kind of weird to say because they haven't been a team that you can trust necessarily. But it hasn't been as much that I like Texas A&M as a whole. It's more that I favor Kellen Mond and I favor that defense that they have. And I actually really haven't bet them this season at all, I don't think. But last year I liked to watch them a lot. And look, you're getting, because it was below that key number, that's really the advantage that I wanted to take. And at 7, yes, would still look that way, but certainly 6.5 is a lot more favorable. And it comes down to Kellen Mond and Bo Nix. And Bo Nix hasn't lived up to the hype that we thought he was going to relay and take that next step from last year. And he's really just been struggling this year. And Kellen Mond, on the contrary, has been really solid. 16 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions on the year. Bo Nix, 10 touchdowns, but 7 interceptions. And it's probably not going to get any easier going up against this tough defense that the Aggies have, only allowing 328 yards per game. Now, we're accustomed to Auburn having a good defense, and they still relatively do, but these Aggies offense should do enough to be able to get the win and hopefully the cover of 6.5. So for that reason, I like laying the 6.5 with the Aggies over Auburn. Now, how about a Big Ten matchup? And we'll discuss this game more with Chris Schmidt to end the program, but Ohio State and Michigan State. Now, I usually despise laying high spreads like this, but I laid 23 with Ohio State. Now, it was around 23.5, even 24 in some spots. It actually opened up at 24, and that's where it is at Bet Rivers. But at 23, I laid it there, and it's for multiple reasons. Not only because Ohio State is just a dominant team, or at least we think they are. We really haven't seen too much of them, unfortunately. You're going up against Michigan State, who's wildly inconsistent. Ohio State's had a couple weeks off, and now sometimes that can hurt you. But if you're a team like Ohio State, who, let's be honest, they should be ready to go, you factor that in, and with the factor that they have to play well. They have to get these style points because even if they go undefeated and they're still eligible for the college football playoff, Big Ten Conference, they need to get those style points. So expect them to put their foot down on the pedal and to do it consistently. So Ohio State laying 23, Texas A&M laying 6.5. Those are my college football picks. We'll talk more when we return here on Rush Hour. All right, folks, now is the time to grab the VSiN holiday offer. New subscribers save 25% on your annual VSiN membership, plus get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Get a great deal, improve your sports betting IQ, and get a new VSiN shirt or hat. You get everything we have to offer, which includes Point Spread Weekly, 24/7 video streaming, 20% savings in the VSiN store, daily email updates with best bets from every show guest and host, plus every betting guide we create, including the new College Hoops Guide. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe, save 25%, get a $30 store credit. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The show's Rush Hour. I'm your host, Danny Burke. It's time for some NFL discussion, and like we typically do here in the middle of the week, on Hump Day, we go over the NFL's biggest line movements, looking forward to the upcoming slate, at being NFL week 13. So let's get right into it. Which games have altered the most in terms of either the spread or the total? And we'll start in Miami, the Dolphins hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, and we saw Miami open up here as a 10.5 point favorite. Total opened up at about 42.5. Currently at Bet Rivers, the attention has gone toward Miami laying 11.5. Total has dropped just a bit to 42. One of those games where it's kind of an ugly spot, some uncertainty at the QB position naturally for Miami, and the Bengals are struggling with their own quarterback position as well, as we know. But kind of an ugly game overall because of this high spread. And you definitely don't really trust Cincinnati, but they didn't have the worst showing this past week. Miami on the other side, certainly still competing for the division and for the playoffs, but laying 10.5 at the opener, then going to 11.5 is a little bit tricky. I'm not saying that I'm going to take the points with the Bengals, but personally, this is a game that I will happily stay away from. But some people have decided to go with Miami. Once again, that opener at 10.5, we now see it at 11.5. Total from 42.5 has dropped to 42, so a very low affair in this one. Remember, Flores has that Miami defense looking pretty good, and Cincinnati's offense, well, specifically their offensive line, has been atrocious this year, so could be a lower scoring affair in Miami between the Dolphins and the Bengals. All right, how about the Seahawks and the Giants? A little bit more movement in this spot. The Seahawks opened up as a touchdown favorite. They were laying 7, total at 48.5. That's only dropped a tick down to 48. In terms of the spread, though, with the opener at 7, early money going on Seattle, now laying double digits, they're laying 10. And the Giants actually have been pretty favorable against the spread this season. I believe they're 7-4. And we know what the Seahawks' vulnerabilities are. It's on the defensive side. And yes, they looked better. But remember, you're going against the Eagles and Carson Wentz, who I believe ranked 30th in DVOA offense. So that's been a cluster this whole season. The Giants, not saying they're any better, but it makes complete sense why the attention has gone toward the Seahawks. But it's one of those spots also where if you want to bet Seattle, you kind of miss the boat here. And you don't obviously, you don't want to lay double digits if you don't have to. But specifically, like a team with the Seahawks that can prevent that backdoor opportunity for the Giants. They could be leading all game and then their defense just lets go. The Giants could sneak in there, especially with a big spread like 10. So I wouldn't be quick to lay the 10 with Seattle. I think there's better opportunities in this game, whether it be live betting, a first half bet maybe on Seattle, whatever it may be. I am staying away from laying the 10. But once again, another scenario where I can't trust the Giants taking the 10. So look for a different angle in this game. But if you still want to take advantage of it, this one opened at 7 in favor of Seattle. Now they're a 10-point favorite. Total went from 48.5, now just down to 48. All right, how about Rams and Cardinals? This is sure to be a fun one, an NFC West battle here. And this one opened up with Arizona as a 1-point favorite. And now we see the Rams flipped as a 3-point favorite. Total was at 48. That's bumped up to 48.5. And I'm not surprised with the movement here to the Rams because, look, they're coming off a tough loss against the 49ers, almost one of those trap games in a sense. And we had the teaser here on the show and we got screwed by it, no doubt about it. But Arizona, I'll keep saying it, I always say it, beat the dead horse, or a team that shoots themselves in the foot. And this Rams team, maybe, I don't want to say underappreciated, but they're really built pretty solid throughout. The one liability that we saw this past weekend was really Jared Goff, is what it seemed like, and his inability sometimes to get the ball down the field in an efficient manner. Now, this Rams defense is one of the better ones in the league. Arizona's not too shabby themselves. They're pretty solid defensively. They step up when they need to. But Arizona also on the offensive side, while they can march down at any given point, they don't do it consecutively. They kind of just go in their spurts. And if there's a team that's really going to make them work for it and be out schemed, then it's probably going to be the Rams. So I understand the line movement here. Arizona, though, they opened up as a 1-point favorite. That's flipped, crossed to 0. Now Sean McVay and the Rams are a 3-point favorite. Totals bumped up from 48 now to 48.5. And we talked about this yesterday, though. If you want to tease up the Cardinals here, tease them up 6.5, get you to plus 9.5, so you're not stuck on the whole number. That could be a viable option here, too. And that's one I've been strongly considering. I'll certainly post out my picks for the NFL, where we'll discuss it on the show if I end up doing it. But right now, I'm a little bit cautious on that play. But that would be an option if you're looking to bet the Cardinals, in my opinion, rather than taking the 3. I would tease them up and pair it with another team. You still want to bet the Rams, so hopefully you can get it before it potentially gets up to 3 in the hook. And if you think it might, then I suggest obviously laying it now with the Rams laying 3. But a big line movement, Arizona opened up as a 1-point favorite. Now we see the Rams as a 3-point favorite. All right, let's go to Lambeau, the Packers hosting the Eagles, who dropped a tough one just by their performance overall against the Seahawks in Monday Night Football. Green Bay opening up as a 6.5-point favorite. Now they are an 8.5-point favorite. That number actually got up to 9 at one point at BetRivers, then dropped back down to 8.5. In terms of the total, that one opened up at 48.5. Now we've seen it drop to 47. And a lot of people kind of seem to think that this could maybe, I don't want to say a trap game, but maybe it's just too easy to go ahead and pick Green Bay. But once again, with Green Bay at 8.5, this is a great teaser opportunity, a home favorite of just over 7. Tease them down 6 points. That gets you to laying 2.5 with Green Bay. And I really want to do that. I'm just waiting to pair it with another team, trying to get a better spot. It looked like the Chargers were +1 at Bet Rivers. So maybe tease them up 6.5 to get them over the key number of 7. And we'll get to that game in just a second. But the Packers, a very viable teaser option, in my opinion, for week 13. In terms of laying, it just seems a little bit too much, despite how bad the Eagles are, because, look, this Packers defense isn't that great. And the Eagles offense, we know, is bad. But if they can implement Miles Sanders enough, expect them to be able to do enough, I guess, to keep it within that number, maybe a backdoor cover as well. So that's why I feel safer teasing down the Packers. But the line movement went from 6.5 under the key number of 7 to 8.5 in favor of Green Bay. And finally, as we alluded to, Patriots and Chargers. Chargers opened up as a 1.5-point favorite. Total opened up at 49. That's dropped down to 47. In terms of the spread, the Chargers went from a 1.5-point favorite. And at Bet Rivers, we are now seeing New England as a 1-point favorite. So that's why I'm considering teasing up the Chargers there to over that key number of 7 and pairing it with the Packers. But a big line movement there somewhat because you cross the 0. Went from the Chargers now to New England, another team that's very hard to trust. Both two teams that are very hard to trust. Offensive advantage, though, goes to the Chargers. Could be a decent play. Speaking of decent plays, we'll discuss some of those in college football with our friend Chris Schmidt. Big Ten action this weekend. We'll discuss it more here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Customers at Bet Rivers Sportsbook, get a special deal for this week's NFL games. Deposit just $50 to get $100 in free bets. It's easy. Use the code NFL100 at Bet Rivers Sportsbook to get your $100 in free bets. As always, get great customer service and only a one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. First-time depositors and new users only. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live here in the Windy City at our VSiN studios, wrapping up a Wednesday edition of Rush Hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've talked college basketball. We've talked college football. And we're going to continue to do that because we just wrapped up NFL with the midweek line movements for NFL Week 13. Some good opportunities to see where those have altered. And speaking of lines altering, how about in college football with the Big Ten? And games have altered too, which of course is unfortunate and is going to be a lot of implications with it. And we'll dive into that in just a sec. But we're going to welcome on our pal Chris Schmidt at Schmidt_radio is where you can catch him on the tweets. Listen to him. Hail Varsity Radio out in Lincoln does a great job covering Nebraska sports, Big Ten in general, specifically college football. And Schmidt, my man, thanks for hopping on. But it's been a little bit hectic of a past couple weeks, I guess you could say, for the Big Ten. How are you handling things down in L&K?
You know, Danny, thanks for having us, man. We're just hoping to play football. Things look good for Saturday against Purdue. And that is what's key, but it's getting a little tight and a little dicey, isn't it, for Ohio State and at 6-game minimum.
Yeah, and it really is. I want to get to that in just a second because I want to get, obviously, your thoughts on that game and then what's the potential for the Buckeyes. But let's go ahead and start with Nebraska and Purdue. Now, this game's kind of been fascinating to me in terms of the spread because the Boilermakers open, Schmitty, as a 1-point favorite. Total opened up at about 62.5. That's just dropped down a point to 61.5. But you've seen some small attention go toward Purdue now laying about 2.5. And I was hoping it would get up to 3. I still took the 2.5 with Nebraska, not necessarily as a best bet, but for our college football picks that we do against each other, because you have to have a certain amount. And when it comes down to it, I know sometimes it's painful to bet Nebraska in a spot like this where Purdue has done pretty well the past several seasons against Nebraska. But look, I mean, Purdue's almost just as inconsistent as Nebraska. And still in the back of my mind, Schmitty, this Nebraska team still has that potential. It's just, can they not shoot themselves in the foot and put it together for four quarters?
Well, and that's really what Saturday boils down to, Danny. You're right on. There's two teams that are, I don't know, stepbrothers with one another as far as mistakes and issues and inconsistencies. You've had, 28 points is the difference in five games here for Purdue. So it's going to be a close ball game. You'd think the line obviously indicates that. You know, for Nebraska, can they get things going in the quarterback run game? There's enough film from Rutgers, right, to indicate that's a Purdue weakness. I know Coach Brohm intimated that a little bit this week with his comments about the Purdue defense, which is really good, has been better than last year and good in the red zone. Nebraska struggled in the red zone. I've got no answer for you as far as who's playing running back for Nebraska, and probably Ramir Johnson. I don't know that Mills will be healthy. There's still not much explosiveness with Frost in this offense and the downfield passing attack. So, you know, we're probably looking at a 27-24 type ball game again. Can Nebraska avoid mistakes? Purdue's been brutal on special teams. Nebraska's not been great either. The kicking games really hurt Purdue. Kickoff return was a difference with the Rutgers win. You have a missed field goal and a blocked field goal against Minnesota. So it's, you know, it's there for Nebraska. I think they've got a little bit of momentum, even though they lost another one on the road at Iowa City. And Nebraska's played well defensively. It'll really kind of be up to Nebraska's secondary, though, with Bell and with Rondale Moore to try and limit them. Nebraska's lost two in a row to Purdue. They're trying to avoid it. I like Nebraska. I like the points. I think they finally turn the corner and get some things going with the quarterback run game, and they'll figure out a way to get the running game involved. That could be McCaffrey. That could be Wandale. That could be Ramir Johnson. But they're going to need to run to win it, and I think Nebraska finally gets a road win, finally gets out of Dodge with a close win. They've been so close so many times this year.
Yeah, you absolutely nailed it, Schmitty. And I think the general observer who watches Nebraska and who watched that game against Iowa last week just thinks it's another bad loss for Nebraska. And they make the joke about the team wanting to play. And look, that's what you get for voicing your opinion and getting the league going and all those kind of side jokes. Yeah, whatever. But it was a momentum game for Nebraska because that's a game that they should have won probably. And you could say that for multiple games this season and in seasons past. So when you know this team as well as you do, as well as I do, that was a momentum builder for Nebraska. And it seems like every single season Frost has been a part of this program, there's always that one big win toward the end of the season that kind of gives us fans hopes and the program hope for the next year. And I think this could certainly be it.
Well, think about last year, man. That's a game to circle in West Lafayette. Nebraska jumps up 10-0. They get too cute in the red zone and they let Purdue hang around. What's Brohm do? He gets the quarterback run game going. And Nebraska wasn't disciplined enough. Purdue found a way to win it tight. Not going back in time for a second. If you win that game and you're Nebraska, you're a notch closer to a bowl game, right? Because then you go beat Maryland. You're already 6-6 or 6-5. And then Iowa waits for you. And it's a whole different outlook. And eventually Nebraska is going to correct the wrongs. And this season, they fought to play because they know they need time on the field. They get better by playing football. They've been limited like a lot of teams around the country with practices, no bowl practice last year. Obviously they weren't bowl eligible. So Nebraska has been kind of working through it on the job, so to speak, as has Scott Frost in year three. So it'll be key for Nebraska to just come out. I think Adrian Martinez looked a lot more comfortable, looked better. You'll still have the quarterback situation with McCaffrey getting a few snaps. But think about the dual quarterback setup you've seen around the country and even in the NFL from time to time. It doesn't go very smoothly. This has gone pretty smooth for Nebraska, and I think that'll be the difference, quarterback run game. I say that, and you watch Moore and Bell light up Nebraska's secondary.
Yeah, that just seems inevitable. But no, I'm with you on Nebraska against Purdue. We'll certainly be hoping for the best for the Huskers. Like we alluded to with Ohio State and Michigan State, we got a few minutes left here. Schmitty, your thoughts on this game? I laid the 23 with Ohio State. 2 weeks off. They need style points. Anything they can do, got to keep their foot on the pedal if they want any chance of going deep into the bowl season. And in terms of just what the liabilities are facing with even getting a chance for the Big Ten championship, what's kind of your thoughts circulating around that and this specific game?
Well, I think Ohio State is in a year of offense. Their offense will carry the day. Sparty's a little dangerous, though, aren't they? I mean, they've been mauled quite a few times, but in the big games, they've stepped up. They found a way to take Northwestern down last weekend. They beat their rival Michigan. So I don't think Ohio State will ever overlook Michigan State. I think Sparty could hang around in this one and score some points. I mean, Ohio State's defense has been a far cry from last year's defense. So I think I don't have the over number offhand, but you do, I'm sure. And I think there's going to be a lot of points in this one. I don't know that Ohio State covers the 24, but it'll be around that 17 to 21 point spread there, I think. And maybe Michigan State sneaks a cover in. But I think Ohio State, I mean, they're going to need some help from the conference to reevaluate the 6-game minimum to get to a conference title game. Because if they lose the Michigan game in 2 weeks due to COVID, then Michigan State won't be eligible. You can't let that happen if you're the Big Ten. You figure out a way to get Ohio State another game. That could be a rematch with Nebraska. That could be telling Rutgers to switch their schedule up and revisit the game that you had Ohio State lose already this year to Maryland. Maybe they reconfigure that, but the league needs to step back and fix this. Nebraska fans have been all over Twitter today screaming about, "Hey, see, we told you so. You should have built in some bye weeks here to get this COVID thing figured out."
Yeah, they really have. And that's been very ironic. And you don't enjoy it, but it's like, hey, see, they were right. But, you know, that's how it goes. And once again, really quick, that total was 59.5. So Schmitty leaning a little bit to the over between Ohio State and Michigan State. Schmitty, we got about 45 seconds. Really quick, want to do rapid fire. Wisconsin, Indiana. Wisconsin laying 14.5 against a banged up Indiana team. Who do you like here?
I like Wisconsin to win. I like Indiana to cover. Indiana will have a backup quarterback in, but this Hoosier team is pretty physical on both lines. Does Wisconsin look like they looked like Michigan after a COVID weekend? I like Wisconsin to win, Indiana to cover.
All right, what about Penn State and Rutgers here? This one opened up with Penn State is about a 10-point favorite. The money's still going in favor of the Nittany Lions here. Do you think Penn State gets a big win?
I think they do, and I think they get the cover. This is important to James Franklin, that Northeast corridor has always been owned by Penn State. They've always mined New Jersey well. Shiano back in town. He's kept a lot of in-state kids around. This will be big for James Franklin moving forward, not only to win, but put back-to-back wins together. Penn State, just too much talent. Rutgers not quite ready.
At Penn State, an 11-point favorite there. And finally, 20 seconds left, Schmitty, we've got Iowa and Illinois. The Hawkeyes, a 13.5-point favorite.
You know what? I think this will be kind of a low scoring, be done in an hour and a half, the way both teams want to run the football. Iowa wins. I think Illinois, that 13.5 number, I think it'll be right there. I'd say give me Illinois with the cover by about that hook, by about the half point. I think it's about a 2-touchdown or a little less win by Iowa on the road.
At @Schmidt_radio is where you can follow him on Twitter. Catch him, host of Hail Varsity Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Schmitty, you're the best. Thanks for hopping on, my friend.
Danny, you take care, bud. Appreciate you.
All right, there it is. And that wraps up another edition of Rush Hour. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk more tomorrow. Big NFL day. We'll discuss on VSiN.